Gather around the internet, children. It's time for an adventure.
Our destination, the theater of the mind.
Dude, can't you just say the radio like everyone else?
It's called showmanship. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
And I'm Colin Kakamas.
And we are...
Boldly Going Nowhere.
Folks, welcome to Boldly Going Nowhere. Today you can call me Han because I'm going solo. I apologize for that terrible pun. I'm Justin Eisenstadt, and Colin is unfortunately not with me today on this 9th day of January 2010. So I'm going to go ahead and do a show for you anyways, even without my esteemed ginger colleague. But it'll probably be a little shorter since, you know, I can only talk for so long by myself before, well, frankly, even I get bored. So last night I made an important discovery, and that is that trance music is awesome. At least it is when you're drunk, or shall I say tired and emotional, as the British call it, because apparently newspaper reporters are not allowed to say that someone was drunk because that is considered libel. So they use the term tired and emotional, and I learned that from listening to TBTL, with Luke Burbank, the show that is too beautiful to live, but one of my favorite podcasts. So anyways, trance music. I went to this place called Lima down in D.C. I think it's on K Street, like 16th and 18th and K. Went with a couple friends, and, you know, it was probably my first experience, you know, getting to take advantage of the fact that I am now of legal drinking age, you know, just turned 21 like a few weeks ago, actually. So this is my first chance getting to go to a real, you know, a real club, not, you know, one of those crappy ones for 18 and over. For example, H2O in Ocean City, which is specifically designed for basically high school kids. Terrible. Just really boring. I mean, it's a sad fact that for the vast majority of people, they can't really have a good time unless, you know, they've got a little liquid fun in them, you know. And I'm not one of those people who's afraid to dance. I realize that I am extremely white, extremely nerdy, and that the last thing I should probably be doing is, you know, dancing by myself out on the floor surrounded by, you know, people who are generally more attractive than me. You know, that's never really bothered me, though. I like to dance, even though I know that I probably look ridiculous when I'm doing it. But honestly, that's almost part of the fun. It's kind of fun to just to challenge other people's perceptions. And frankly, I don't really give a shit what other people think anyways. My roommate Max, who's one of the people I went with last night to Lima, has actually volunteered to sit in with us right here and help me regale you with our experiences. So let me get him set up here. Okay, Max, welcome to the show. Welcome to Boldly Going Nowhere.
Oh, howdy, Justin.
How are you doing right now?
Doing good. It's, you know, all crack of 6 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah. You looking forward to some endless pancakes later?
I am definitely looking forward to eating a shit ton of pancakes. Folks, we can curse in the show, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, fuck shitballs.
I love how that's everyone's everyone's reaction whenever they come on this show, or, you know, when they came on Very Thin Ice. It was like, are we allowed to curse on this show? Yeah, we can. All right, cock tits, fuck. It's like...
freedom of speech, Justin. Freedom of speech.
It's like, just because you can curse doesn't necessarily mean you have to, like, overcompensate and then, you know...
You're making up for lost time.
I guess.
For all the times you couldn't curse.
I'm guilty of it myself, I know, so it's okay. That's not what we're here. We're here to discuss our little adventure we had last night.
Yes.
So...
it was an adventure.
Good time, overall?
I started off good, and for me, it just kind of slowly declined.
Okay.
Because I'm not, you know this, but I'm not much of a club guy. I'm more of a bar fly, if you're gonna, throw lingo around.
I have known you to mingle, in the occasional bar scene.
As in, you know,
I'm looking forward to joining you in that now.
Yeah. This Spring Sister, we ought to go to Flat Tuesdays, our on campus bar, and spend the hours there.
Oh yeah, yeah. UMBC has its own little pub
with decent beer.
Is it?
Clipper City. The only thing that's not Clipper City is Amstel Light.
Okay.
So there's no Heineken or.
Those the only two. They only serve two beers there.
No, they have Amstel Light and Clipper City beers. Like so, they have like Peg Leg, some of the. They all have pirate themed names like Loose Cannon, Clipper City Pale Ale, stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
Red Sky.
I still haven't really decided if I'm a club person or not, because I've had some really shitty experiences at clubs, and I've had some actually decent ones. Like I would say last night overall, I had a good time. I had a great time, and here's why.
Because you were drunk up against the wall, dancing your ass off.
I'm getting to that. It's called pacing, Max. You gotta dish it out to them evenly. You can't just go straight to the best part, or else they got no reason to stick around.
Well, you have my amazing Sinatra quality voice.
Well, sure. Certainly, Max's Sinatra quality voice probably be enough to keep you riveted. So, we read a review of Lima online, the Washington Post review, that said there was no cover charge, so I was kind of excited about that, but that was, frankly, wrong.
Yeah, because the person reviewing it was a woman, and so, yeah, there's no cover charge for them, but us people are still subjected to such violent discrimination against our wallets.
Yeah, us people.
Yes.
You mean Jews?
I mean dudes.
People with
dicks.
With dicks, okay.
Who aren't trannies or who can like, stuff it to one side and trick their way in.
Right. So we ended up having to pay a $20 cover charge.
Yep.
So not only was it not free, it was actually pretty pricey cover charge. Like,
yeah.
Usually it's about 10 or 15, I think. And 10 I would consider average. After 10, because you're going to be paying out the ass for the drinks,
like
too.
$20, that's how much you usually pay for, that's like strip club cover charge.
Yeah. And we didn't get to see any tits.
Nope.
And drinks started out, I think beers were like $6.
Beers were $6. I think you got a $9, some mixed drinks, right?
Yeah, I got a rum and coke, which was $9.
It's a bad eat, rum and coke.
It was kind of weak.
Well, it's a problem. When you get rum and coke, they're just going to, give you a little bit of rum and then load up with coke. But you want to order mixed drinks that, if you go to a club, take the most bang for your buck, that are just two alcohols shoved into a glass.
Well,
like,
yeah.
What I recommended to you, originally, which was the, Black Russian, which is essentially just, vodka and Kahlua.
Yeah, and I actually really liked that. It definitely worked.
Mm.
I'll say that's probably what did it.
So I noticed.
That's probably what put it over. Because, the beginning, when we got there, we went with two girls. And the four of us were just kind of, on the dance floor, just kind of half-heartedly going at it.
And then one guy just came up and just cock-blocked the shit out of us and started dancing with both of them at once.
yeah.
It's also a problem for you, because you have a girlfriend, but I'm like...
Well, that's the thing. And I'm going to get to that, too. Basically, I wasn't looking to hook up with anyone at the club, which I think that's probably a big part of why I had a good time, because I'm not that stress, that, that tension of, how am I gonna try and play my game out tonight?
I'm kind of with you in that, but I find I'm kind of for different reasons, because I don't go to clubs or... Well, I've never gone to two clubs, but I've never gone to a club thinking, I'm going to pick up some chick, because...
Yeah.
Because, who do you pick up at clubs?
Exactly.
I mean, people who were ready to go to clubs by themselves, so they're always going to clubs, you know, friends or pairs.
Right, right.
And if they do go by themselves...
I mean, there are plenty of kind of, you know, creepy dudes who go by themselves, and maybe they have luck, maybe they don't. I have a feeling that most of them probably don't, because the thing is, I never really understood why a club is considered, like, a hot spot for, you know, singles, because you can't talk to anyone. You can't hear yourself...
Again,
think, what? Let alone have a conversation with the person next to you.
Again, that's why I'm a barfly.
Yeah, and bar is all about, going to bars is all about sitting next to people and
better,
conversing.
Better drinks and cheaper drinks as well.
Yeah.
And you also have a decent conversation with somebody.
Yeah, exactly. And I prefer conversation to, you know...
Exploitation.
Grinding on random strangers. Well, I mean, maybe that's speaking out of bitterness because random strangers rarely grind on me. But whatever.
Aww.
But that's
well,
what
sure,
I'm saying.
Sure,
I mean,
if you grew tits, you could do it as well.
I guess it's not like I was trying because, like I said, I have a girlfriend. I'm in a relationship, and I wasn't really, you know.
Apparently, someone like you know, I was just hanging out like by like where the bar, little bar area was, and some girl just reached over and like you know, took a picture of me next to her. So I was like, "Oh, you're cute." I'm like, "Okay."
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was kind of weird though.
You don't like getting photographed by random strangers at the club?
And I will. I like getting photographed with friends. It's just kind of weird that, you know, oh, like you're just someone reaching over and saying, "You're cute, click, bye," disappearing. It's kind of strange.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe she wanted to be friends. Maybe that's her way of introducing herself. It's just snapping a candid photo of you.
I could say, I be like, "Oh, I have enough friends." Yeah, well, maybe I don't have that many friends, but still. I don't need any more friends would be their thing.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I don't need more friends. Now show me your tits.
I don't need friends. Let's see those titties.
Let's see them jugs. So, yeah, I mean...
Dude, I'll show you mine if you show me yours in a friendly way.
Things kind of went... kind of went downhill from there, I think, but... For me, in a good way, for the others. Because basically, like I was saying, the four of us were, you know, kind of going at it on the dance floor. Some guy came up and...
Some guy just busy...
Cock-blocked both. I mean, I guess, you know, not really cock-blocked, because neither of us was really trying to get anywhere with them. But, you know, I mean, just kind of stepped in.
He just kind of started dancing with both of them at once, which was kind of weird. And his back when it was like, the way he saw it, like, you know, he was grabbing the first girl a lot. Like, and then went on to the other one. It's like, you know, just using his massive arm reach to reach over.
The classic pincer formation.
Yes.
I mean, basically at that point...
It's a standard tactic of military strikes.
Right, right.
Also, you used, you know, like most military technology, brought into civilian use for club dancing scenes.
Yeah, it's actually, there's a chapter on that in Sun Tzu's Art of War, on how to pick up chicks at a club.
A little note, like a little red chapter, yes.
It's an appendix.
He who controls the axe body spray can take on heaven.
Yeah, that's... You should work for Axe. You should write a advertising copy for them. So anyways, at that point, they're like, "All right, we're going to go off and get men to buy us drinks." That was literally what they said. "We're going to get men to buy us drinks."
No, that was before you started dancing against the wall and stuff.
Oh, that was way before.
Yeah.
So...
We're talking backwards and forward in time, aren't we?
At that point, I'd had maybe, like, 2 beers, so, you know. I was still, like, well, I guess I need to get some more liquid refreshment in me. So, we go, the two of us head off. And, you know, we head upstairs to where the bar was much less crowded. Was a good call. So that's where I got, you know, my weak stream rum and coke, which was, yeah, weak stream, especially for $9, man. And then
price, of course.
And then that the Black Russian, which was delicious and highly effective. It was super effective. So at that point, we headed back downstairs and... Well, I think we checked out the upstairs, and there was nothing really going on. It was like hip-hop, but...
Kind of. It was just...
Kind of. No one up there seemed really...
That's the problem with, like, you know, clubs in D.C. It's always going to be, you know, small and skinny and crowded because, yeah. you know, it's in D.C., it's in the city. Like, the only time I might go to a club again is if I went to a club, I don't know, like, outside the city where it's, you know, it's a big area with multiple levels and stuff where I could, well, maybe if there's a sit-down area or something.
I mean, there actually was a lot of probably more seating in this club than I've seen in a lot
really?
Of other clubs. I went to some others where there was nowhere to sit at all.
Well, nowhere. I wouldn't say it's a lot seating. I mean, there were...
Well, compared to the last one I went to, which was, I want to say, Ibiza.
Now, there was some seating, but it's all downstairs by the bathroom.
Yeah, that's true.
At least down there was
Well, the middle section had, you know, all those couches along the wall. And, like, it had a big screen, like a little roped-off area with a big screen.
It was a projector TV.
Yeah, with a projection screen. And there was some dude just sitting there watching the basketball game, and I'm watching him. I'm like, what kind of guy comes to a club to sit there and watch the basketball game? Like,
well,
he was
fair,
the only one in that area.
To be fair, Justin, what kind of guy comes to a club to watch a guy who watches basketball games?
Good point. I guess that's kind of like the fool or the fool who follows him
yes.
sort of scenario. I just thought it was interesting. I mean, he seemed, you know, seemed okay, whatever. So he's watching the game. I guess he's not into dancing either. So we head back down. It was, I guess I'd say the club was sort of like a, you know, pyramid situation where there was, the bottom was packed, and the bottom was much bigger, and it kept getting smaller as you went up, and also less people.
Yeah.
Because the hip-hop room, or quasi-hip-hop
yeah,
room,
the
no one
the private room was pretty crowded.
I guess, actually, it was more crowded than the middle.
It's more like a sandwich.
Yeah, more like a sandwich.
Except, you know...
With a smaller piece of bread on top. All right, this analogy is just falling apart.
It's like, you know, like a three-way of a midget.
There you go.
You have two normal-sized people on top, and in the middle you just have this small person that doesn't know what the hell they're doing.
Except the person on top is also much shorter than the person on the bottom, too.
So what?
It's like, so it's more like, it's a threesome with a normal person, a midget, and a primordial dwarf.
I was about to say it's a threesome between a normal midget, a normal person, and a paraplegic.
Okay. I guess. I don't know which of those is more disturbing, but I'm not going to debate it.
Just because you don't have use of your leg doesn't mean you're or missing legs. Or maybe an amputee is probably the better term than paraplegic.
Yeah. Because
a paraplegic
just couldn't move at all.
Oh, I guess you're just like, what are you, I'm a paraplegic. Oh, where's the other one of you?
So anyways, on with the story. So we head back downstairs. At this point, the drinks are starting to kick in, and we go back to trancing it up, and I end up against the wall near the entrance. And
you are loving that wall.
Oh, okay. So here's where it gets good for me, at least. So I'm standing against a wall. I'm just kind of leaning against it, and I'm swaying back and forth. And the drinks have fully kicked in at this point. I am pretty much gone. But I don't know if it's so much the fact that I was super drunk or the combination of the alcohol with the trance music. Because
For a good second there, I thought you were on E or something.
What?
I thought you were on E for like
That's
a while.
That's what I was going to ask, like, because I was just kind of swaying back and forth, and I completely lost track of time. I was in a whole nother world, man. I was literally in a trance. I think that's why they call it trance music, because I was just listening to the music, and the music is, you know, it's around me, it's within me.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But that's the thing. I know it's dumb, but at that point, I had just completely ceased caring what other people thought. In fact, not only did I cease caring what people thought, I had ceased to be aware of other people as people. Like, all the people who were around me were just kind of like, you know, objects in the room.
Well, so you ceased caring about how the world around you?
Yeah. But, you know, like, people were just kind of... I'm really curious as to what I must have looked like, because I was at
you look
there
like,
was
you
a
look like a damn idiot who was on fucking drugs. Like, and I don't know, I don't know if I can describe a property to you.
That's I wish you could, please do your best to describe it to me to the radio audience, because I really want to. I'm curious as to what I look like, because there was a part of me, a little voice deep down, was like, "You realize you look like you're on drugs right now," but then the other part of me is like, "Shut up! I'm trancing."
All right. Now, I know, like, you know, how people out there in audience land knows what Justin looks like, but he's, you know, he's not short, but he's, you know, an average-sized Jewish guy.
No, you can say you can go ahead and say I'm short. You're not pretty short.
Or if you're, like, average-sized Jewish guy with, like, you know, just, like, you know, thin, but not, you know, too thin.
And say I'm average for a Jew. Like, just American, I'm probably short.
But you're dressed
for a Jew, you know,
khaki pants and a tucked-in shirt or something, and then just imagine him, his back against the wall, like, just, you know, if he was a girl and there was a guy in behind him, it would have made sense. But instead, he was just kind of waving back and forth, swaying side to side, his arms weren't really doing that much, his legs were just kind of going back and forth, and, you know, as I was walking around, I'll come back down, I'll see, he always get pushed off more and more to the side, and I'm like, is Justin on drugs? Is Justin been taking candy from strangers?
I was wondering. I was like, did someone slip me something? Like, I don't know. It was just, but I'm pretty sure I wasn't. I was just being goofy. I was just being a straight up goof. But I knew, like, yeah. I say that I cease to be aware of other people. I have a feeling other people probably cease to be aware of me. Like, I think the whole.
Well, it's not you know, ceasing being aware of people. It's more like, you know. There's just so many people around there, you just don't really care that much.
Right.
I mean, you are aware of them.
I mean, I was aware, but it was like, there was no acknowledgement of the fact that, you know, I was in a crowd of people. It was like there's this little buffer around me that even when people are jostling me or, you know, walking by me, it's like they're not really part of my sphere, you know.
Sphere.
So, yeah. So.
Sphere of what?
My, you know, my sphere of consciousness, I guess.
Oh, because mine's a cube. Cube of consciousness.
Well, that's... cubes have sharp corners. That's probably not safe. You should get an imaginary file and file down your cube into a nice, safe sphere. So,
nope.
You know, I'm... At some point, I'm like, I have no idea how long I've been standing against this wall. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to count down from, I don't know, let's say 1,000... I don't know why I went with 1,000, because have you ever, like, you know how long it actually takes to count down from 1,000? When you're drunk and in a trance? It takes a while. And I literally counted down from 1,000, and I'm like, alright, I'm going to count down from 1,000, when I get to 0, I'll finally check my phone and see what time it is. So, finally, I get down, and before that, I'm just, like, in this weird thought space where just I'm having all these weird thoughts. At one point I'm just like, I am the river. I am the river and I am flowing. I'm like,
the fuck's wrong with you?
Exactly. But I was like,
you're not David Byrne.
You don't know that.
I know that for certain.
You cannot prove that.
I can prove that for certain.
So I realize how stupid this sounds now. Because it sounds ridiculous to me. But finally, like, alright, I'll count down from 1,000, and when it gets to 0, I'll see what time it is. It was like 2:45 when I finally checked my phone. I'd been standing against that wall probably since like 1 o'clock in the morning. And at that point, I was like, alright, time to go. time to get the hell out of here. So I stumble around the club looking for you. I finally find you. And we're like, let's get out of here. And then we cannot find the other two girls at all.
Mm-hmm.
And
they just disappeared.
We're wandering around. I can only imagine how, you know, that must have been pretty annoying for you, having to not only locate the other two girls, but also basically lead me around practically by the hand, because I was, you know, fairly drunk at that point. I was coming down at that point. But I could just see the exasperation on your face. And finally, we go back out to the little entrance outside, and I sit on the couch, and you're just like, stay here. Don't move. I'm like, okay. I wasn't going to anyways, but okay. So you finally come back to like, well, I found them, but they were in like this VIP section.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, let's go try and get their attention. So that was kind of a weird VIP section. It was just like a little platform.
Yeah.
On the stairway.
Well, no, it goes off down and across the side. Like,
oh,
know,
really?
We saw it, like, you know, when we first started dancing right by all the fucking subwoofers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can move off further down the side, you could see that part's velveted rope off.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I don't know. What's the benefit of being in the VIP section anyways? Like,
it's VIP.
But is there any, you know, it didn't seem like there are any more amenities in it than in the regular section. It's just like...
probably less crowded.
Maybe a little less crowded.
Also, you can be like, oh, I'm in the VIP.
Yeah, it's probably just bragging rights. Like, hey, look at me. Look at me, everybody. I'm in. So, you know, they were dancing right on the little platform by the stairs, and we literally had to sit there for like half an hour.
Yeah, and so they actually kicked us out.
Yeah, the bouncers actually had to come kick us out. We're like, well, our friends are right there. He's like, you need to leave. And I'm like, that's what I've been trying to say. Because the club was supposed to close at 3, and we didn't end up leaving till like 3:30, maybe even 3:45. Yeah. And even after we got out onto the street, they stood there talking to those two guys that they'd been dancing with for another like 15 minutes out on the street. And because you would walk down the street before you realized, because you were all the way down at the end of the block, and I'm walking, I'm like, should I wait for them or should I just go catch up with Max? And I'm just walking back and forth, up and down the sidewalk, stumbling around, waiting for them to finally come. So, it was an adventure, I'll say that. We didn't get back till 4:30.
Well, my favorite part was a drive down with all our talks of cavernous vaginas and such things.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun.
Probably a conversation that doesn't need to be repeated on here.
On air.
But I will say, yeah, the conversation... Well, the conversation on the ride back up was pretty interesting, because apparently, when I'm drunk, I get extremely talkative. Like, I just could not stop talking the whole way up.
I suppose now, you're fucking Mr. Silent.
Well, it would be kind of odd if I wasn't talking here, because this is a show based around me talking into a microphone. So, it would probably be a bad idea if I just started to clam up and, you know...
Like, I don't want to talk.
See, this is kind of... See this, the silence? Kind of awkward right now, right? So I gotta keep talking.
Your face is kind of awkward
or else
right
people
now.
Will turn it off. If they haven't already. So, Max, thank
yes.
you very much for joining me.
You're welcome.
Thank you for explaining to the listeners how much of an idiot I looked like.
Always, Justin. Anytime.
And generally, thanks for accompanying me in the first place. And having a good time, I guess. So, moral.
Well, let's just say I accompanied you in the first place, then.
Right. All right. Well, now, folks, Max is going to get out of here. I'm going to beat him away with a broom.
You don't own a broom. If you own a broom, it's supposed to be a lot cleaner.
It's okay. And I'll be back in just a moment. So, that story took a little longer than I was originally intending. That was actually about half the show right there. But I know I would be remiss if I did not include today's fun fact.
Fun fact!
Thanks, Colin's voice. So today's fun fact is this. In England, the Speaker of the House is not actually allowed to speak, which is why that all Lord Speakers have historically been mimes. But as far as I'm concerned, the entire House of Lords in England might as well be a vaudevillian troupe, or perhaps some sort of minstrel gallery. I don't know. Frankly, if it was, I think more people would pay attention to politics. I think, you know, if the U.S. Senate or the U.S. House of Representatives were comprised entirely of sideshow freaks, I don't know, just saying, C-SPAN would have a lot higher ratings. But as it is, mostly stuffy old white men, so, you know, that's why I'm not into politics. But perhaps under the new Obama administration, I don't know, maybe he'll effect some real lasting changes in our government structure, like, I don't know, requiring all members of the Senate to have skills either in tumbling, juggling, or knife throwing. And that is today's fun fact.
Fun fact!
So on Tuesday, I went on a road trip up to Pittsburgh with my friend Evan and Tim to take Evan's younger brother back to school at where he goes to college at Pitt. That's not actually the story I want to tell right now, because we actually did some recording on the ride up and the ride back. And once, you know, we've actually gone through that recording and found the bits that are actually usable, I'll actually, you know, compile that and put that up for you to listen to our, I guess we'll call it Boldly Going to Pittsburgh. And I'll, you know, I'll give some introduction before and after and maybe have Evan on too to talk about our journeys. But what I'm actually getting up to right now is today's spectacle of human failure.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Today, folks, that ignorant mother bleeper is me, unfortunately. Actually, again, I think I was also the spectacle of human failure in our second episode for my inability to write a decade in review song. But at any rate, when we were in Pittsburgh, right after we'd gotten Evan's brother settled and we'd left his dorm, there was a liquor store right nearby, which apparently sold amazing french fries, and they were pretty damn good french fries. But Evan decided that I should have a bottle of malt liquor to take home with me, you know, as a souvenir. A 40 of Colt 45, which he actually gave me the money to purchase. I'm not really sure why, because I can't really see a situation where I'd ever, you know, be sitting around in my apartment and say, you know what I could really go for right now? 40 ounces of malt liquor. But, nevertheless, when we left that store, we had some delicious french fries, a bottle of Colt 45, and a six-pack of Duck Rabbit seasonal brew, which Evan had purchased for himself, because that's exactly the sort of beverage that Evan would purchase. So I came home, and when we finally got back, I put the Colt 45 in the refrigerator, and I guess I didn't put it in a very good spot. So the next morning, I had to get up at like 8 a.m., because I had to be at work at 8:30. So I walk over to the fridge, and I open it up to get out some milk to have myself a bowl of cereal, and the bottle of Colt 45 falls out of the fridge and lands on the floor and shatters completely. It hadn't even been opened yet, but there's glass and malt liquor all over the floor, completely soaked my socks and the bottom of my pants. I had to spend the next, 15 minutes cleaning it up. So basically, when I showed up to work, I was 15 minutes late and reeking of cheap booze at 8:30 in the morning, which, needless to say, led to a pretty interesting conversation with my boss at work. I was considering calling that in as a momentous occasion to the show Jordan Jesse Go, if any of you listen to that. Actually, part of our Pittsburgh trip ended up as a momentous occasion, but I'll talk about that at another time, because it's a pretty great story, and I need everyone to be there for it. But me showing up to work smelling like alcohol at 8:30 in the morning, I'm gonna say that's definitely today's spectacle of human failure.
Blam!
So of course it wouldn't be an episode of Boldly Going Nowhere without a ridiculous news item of the day, and this one once again courtesy of a link from our friends at AOL. An article on Sphere.com entitled Great Facebook Broad Debate, Success or Slacktivism? So many people no doubt noticed midweek a whole bunch of statuses from women that read a variety of colors, from black to white, pink, red, nude, or more cryptically, none. What could the girls be up to this time? Male users collectively wondered. Well, that's because, as is often the case with women's wares in real life, they simply weren't in the loop. So apparently a message was circulated to women all over Facebook telling them to post the color of their bra in their statuses. Just the color, nothing else, and somehow this will serve to spread awareness of breast cancer. I mean, the whole ruse was up pretty quickly because I saw a whole bunch. In fact, I didn't actually see any statuses with colors in them. I just saw a whole bunch of statuses being like, "What's up with this whole, you know, posting your bra color thing going around?" So I mean, the cat was out of the bag pretty quickly, but apparently it you know, it rubbed people the wrong way. There was a whole lot of controversy over this. Let me find this quote, because I think it's a pretty... Oh, here it is. Great. Lisa Takuchi Cullen at True Slant said, "I'm vomitously sick of a serious illness like breast cancer being reduced to twee pink ribbons and stroll-a-thons." Pressing further, she advised her readers to boycott the Facebook color viral trendlet. What the shit is a trendlet? Furthermore, what the hell is slacktivism? Oh, right. Virtual activism with no real result. Honestly, that's kind of all activism. Maybe that's a cynical, you know, cynical opinion to have, but activism, I don't know. Definitely internet activism doesn't do shit, but honestly, just real activism, how effective is, you know, shouting at people, and how effective are colored wristbands? It's like, yeah. I mean, what is this whole awareness thing anyways? Like, people are always like, well, we've got to raise awareness, you know? We've got to raise awareness. What does that actually do? Okay, so more people are aware that there's a problem that's not actually causing people to solve the problem. I mean, certainly it's better than people being not aware, but aren't you kind of just half-assing it if you're just going to say, well, we're going to raise awareness and we're going to stop there? I mean, yeah, it's difficult to motivate people, but if you're only, you know, got to aim for the stars, you got to aim high. Don't just say, well, we're going to raise awareness. Like, we're going to motivate people. And if it fails, well, at least you raised awareness. If not, well, then, you know, whatever. You tried your best. But just saying, you know, if more people know about it, then our job is done, because someone else will take care of the problem. But it doesn't work like that. Clearly, you're the one who cares about the problem. Clearly, it's going to end up having to be you who's going to solve the problem. And passing around colored wristbands and posting about the color of your bra on Facebook are not really the ways to go about doing business. So I can see why some people would be, you know, annoyed about this whole thing, about this, trendlet, if we're going to use that word. But I didn't even realize that it had anything to do with breast cancer. I just thought it was, you know, another stupid thing on Facebook, because basically everything that's on Facebook is pretty stupid. Which brings me to something else I wanted to mention. Just Boldly Going Nowhere, of course, has a fan page on Facebook, which currently has 69 fans. Certainly an auspicious number. But the problem with fan pages on Facebook is that in addition to having fan pages for things that actually deserve fans, like my show, there are fan pages for just, you know, all sorts of random bullshit. Let me see. Okay, here we go. So, here's someone who became a fan of, no, I would not like you to straighten my hair in the middle of the mall. That's a fan page right there. There's all these fan pages, there's like billions and billions of these pages popping up that are just statements. Like, people become fan of statements, but what's the point of that? What's the point of saying, I'm a fan of, you know, oh, here's a great one. I won't mention this chick, but she's a great one, because she just became a fan of, like, okay, she became a fan of apples to apples. Okay, that's kind of legit. It's not double dipping if you use the other side of the chip. That's a fan page. She's a fan of, I hate those awkward moments when your friend's parents are yelling at them. That's a fan page. She's also a fan of, don't you hate in when the Kool-Aid man randomly bursts through your wall? No one should be a fan of that, because it doesn't happen. You can't just be a fan of, I think it's awkward when my friend's parents yell at them. How do you be a fan of that? How do you support think it's awkward when friend's parents yell at them? So honestly, this bullshit needs to end. I'm tired of seeing this crap. This is stuff like this that constantly reinforces the fact that I should probably stop using Facebook. But I just can't do it. I'm not that strong. I'm not that strong. Oh, and by the way, if your Facebook picture, if your profile picture was a Pokemon, please, please go fillet a cactus, because you deserve that. And I hope that gets me angry letters, angry emails, whatever. I hope someone gets angry at that, because that would give me nothing but joy to explain to someone how annoying it was seeing all these pictures of Pokemon as people's profile pictures. And I've made myself angry now. I've angered myself. I've become unhinged, unsettled. Lost a few screws on the way here, so it's probably a good idea that I cut this show short. Next time Colin will be with me, it'll be a much more regular show. There'll be all those humorous sound bites and little clips that you all enjoy, and less me ranting about Facebook. I need to raise awareness of how stupid Facebook is. That's what I need to do. I need to start one of those causes, and, you know, we can all wear, we'll wear brown wristbands. Brown because Facebook is bullshit. So until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt, and you've been listening to Boldly Going Nowhere.